We're going to talk some more about 5G living, and we're going to talk about growing in Christ. John Newton made a great statement. I want to share that statement with you this morning. He once said this. He said, "I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be, but still I am not what I used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am." Amen. How many of y'all relate to that this morning? You relate to that statement? In fact, why don't you look at the person next to you and says, "I think that quote is me." Yeah, amen, right? We could all say that this morning. Now, if for some reason you don't relate to that quote, maybe you'll relate to the scripture that the Apostle Paul shared with us in Romans 7:19, where Paul said this. He said, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Amen? Y'all didn't say amen because you didn't want people to know you relate to that text, right? But if we're honest this morning and admit it, we will understand that we relate to both John Newton's quote and most importantly to the quote the Apostle Paul gave us. And if you relate to that, let me just simply say this real quick. All right, if you relate to that scripture that Paul wrote especially, let me say, welcome to the Christian life. All right, welcome to that life. Because we're all in that category where we would say, look, I don't do what I want to do, and what I don't want to do, I seem to find myself doing. Well, welcome to life, and I don't want you to be discouraged, because today I want to discuss this idea of 5G living a little more, and we're going to address this feeling that John Newton expressed, and more importantly, the struggle that Paul reminded us of. We have been looking the last couple of weeks at how to find a higher level of living, and so far we have said, first, we must glorify God, and after that, we have to have a grace-focused life. Those two are definitely important foundations to have if you're going to have the life at the highest level possible. Even I would say this to you, if you've missed one of the last 2 weeks, let me encourage you to go to our website, because you can go there and you can listen to that sermon online, or you can even download it and listen to it later. But those are foundational things that we need for our life. And so if you didn't hear about glorifying God and grace-focused life, go back and listen to them, because today we're going to build upon that with our next G that will take us to this higher level of living. And what is this next G? It is growing in Christ. You know, one of the mistakes I believe that many people make is thinking that as soon as one comes to Christ, that somehow they become perfect. That they think that somehow all their struggles are gone and immediately they will be who God wants them to be. Well, if that has been your thinking, then I hope the quote from the Apostle Paul that I shared corrected that thinking. Because when Paul wrote those words that I shared a while ago, he'd been a Christian for many years. And in fact, at that time, he was looked at as a well-thought-of Christian leader. And what did he say again? "I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." In other words, Paul would say this, "I have not achieved perfection yet." If the Apostle Paul, listen, you know, can look and say, "Look, I've not made it." And though he wrote much of our New Testament and he was such a great Christian leader, if the Apostle Paul could say that, then this is what I would say to all of you today. Take a deep breath and say, "At least I'm not alone." Right? That's what you need to say. Well, at least I'm not alone. Now, with that said, we do need to understand, though, the necessity of growth in our lives. For this reason, that so many Christians never experience a higher level of living because they fail to grow in their faith. They believe that once they've given their life to Jesus Christ, that heaven is theirs and that's all there is to it. If that is your attitude, you are missing out on so much and you have failed to truly understand what God wants for you. In fact, let's understand this morning. Here's the goal for your life. The goal for your life is to be like Jesus Christ. Can I say that again? The goal for your life is to be like Jesus Christ. If you've wondered where I've got that, I get it from Romans 8:29, where God's word says this, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Hold that just a second, Donna. Look what it says. He said, those he foreknew, those who came to Christ in him, he predestined, or he has a plan for your life. And what is the plan for your life? That you would be conformed to the image of his son. Or maybe I should say it to you this way. What does God want for you? He wants you to be like Jesus Christ. Now, that at first might seem intimidating to you or overwhelming to you. You might say, well, how can I be like Jesus Christ? That seems to be impossible, and you're going to get maybe a little discouraged. Well, I hope by the end today you'll understand God's plan for your life, and instead of being discouraged, you can find joy as you begin to live the life that God has called you to live, this thing called the Christian life. In fact, just think about this for a moment. Do you think that your life and this world would be better if those folks who called themselves Christians would be like Jesus Christ? Yes or no? Now, here's the sad part. The sad part is we have to ponder what our world would be like because Christians aren't being like Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? We have to say, would our world be? Absolutely, our world would be better. But we recognize that Christians aren't being like Jesus Christ. Now, if you think, if you don't think maybe this is true, just ponder for just a second. Why would our world not be better if we were like Jesus Christ? Because think about the life of Jesus Christ. What was his life like? When we look at Jesus Christ, he was a man who did not sin. When we look at Jesus Christ, we see a man who knew how to love. If you look at Jesus Christ, you see one who knew how to forgive. When you look at Jesus Christ, you see one who knew how to serve, and the list of good qualities and admirable things can go on and on and on. Therefore, we know that being like Jesus, which is what God has desired for us to do, would be a good thing for us individually and for our society as a whole. And so as we discuss being like Jesus Christ, here's what I'm going to do. Because some of you right now, you're intimidated. I can't be like Jesus Christ. So let me give you just a little relief today by saying this. Let's recognize something. You ready? That we will never be like Jesus Christ this side of heaven. Amen. All right. Thank you, Danny. All right. Roy said it too, so I'll give you both credit. All right. Look at what John gave us a reminder of in 1 John 3. He said this. Beloved, we are God's children. When? Now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. In other words, we're not yet what we will be. But we know that when he appears, that being Jesus Christ, when he comes again, what? We shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. You see, John reminded us this side of heaven, we're not going to fully be like Jesus Christ. We have to accept that. We know if you're a Christian today, you know that frustration. Because if you're a believer today, here's what I think's in your life. You want to be like Jesus Christ. You want to be like him. You want to be perfect in every way. And the frustration is that you're not. We have to live with the reality that as long as I'm in the flesh with its shortcomings, as long as I live in the flesh with its temptations, there are going to be moments when I fail. I am not going to be exactly as Jesus Christ wants me to be. I'm not going to be perfect here on earth, but God wants us to be like Christ. Now, if I can't achieve it on earth, then what should be our goal? Here it is. You ready? Here's going to help you this morning. Here should be our goal. We should be growing to maturity in Christ. That should be our goal, that we're maturing in Jesus Christ. The writers of Hebrews simply put the challenge to us this way. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to what? Maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. In other words, here's what he was saying. He's saying, we need to just leave the elementary teaching, and what we need to do is to begin to mature. In fact, let me show you. Let me help you with a challenge today, can I? I'm going to help you by showing you my wonderful artistic ability. You didn't know I had that, did you? Well, I'm going to help you out this morning, all right? My wonderful artistic ability to show you what God wants for us. Let me get my marker. That'll be helpful. All right, y'all ready for this? Y'all can see that, right? I'll try to stay out of the way. Here we go. Doing good so far, right? Y'all seen something like that before? All right, let's go back to your school days. It's like math, you know. Let's do something like this. And let's put down here at the bottom, here's a little bit of time. And let's put over here, here is maturity. And here's what we should be doing in our life. Ta-da. Y'all not impressed? Come on. Look, thank you. He's clapping. Thank you. All right. that's God's desire for us. Over time, as time passes, we should be maturing. We should be growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know, again, you're amazed at my artistic ability this morning. So here's what I want to do next. Now that you're amazed with that, I want to give you some help. How is it that I fulfill this? How is it that I grow and experience this growth in Christ that God desires for me? Number one, it is this. Catch this. This is so important. You need to focus on deepening your relationship with God, all right? Focus on deepening your relationship with God. Hey, Lucas, can you turn me down just a hair? I seem like I'm ringing up here, all right? I don't know if anybody else is hearing it, but it's bothering me, all right? Thank you. All right, perfect. All right, now you focus on deepening our relationship with God. Listen to this great truth from 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7. I planted, Apollos watered, but what? God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the... Now, do you really want to mature in your faith? I hope you'd say yes. I want to mature in my faith. If so, let me make it clear to you that your spiritual growth will ultimately come from God. I cannot make you spiritually grow. Should have been an amen to somebody there, right? Your life group leader cannot make you spiritually grow. A Beth Moore study or a David Platt Bible study cannot make you grow. Only God can bring growth in your life. Those who teach and share God's word can be tools that God uses, but only God brings that growth. So that's why it should remind us of this, that if you really want to grow, then you must focus on your relationship with God. Now, here why me stating this is so important. That we often mistake completing a checklist for growth in Christ. We say, if I've completed the checklist, then I've grown in Christ. Many people set a goal and say, I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. And so they read through the Bible in a year and they say, check, I've matured this year. Or they say, I'm going to set aside 30 minutes. I'm going to pray 30 minutes every day. And so they set aside and they start praying 30 minutes every day. And they do that and they say, check, I've matured in Christ. Or they may look and say, you know what? I'm going to write one page in a spiritual journal every day. And as they write that page and they say, check, I have matured this year. Now, here's what I'm going to say. You can do all those check marks and never mature once in Jesus Christ. You can do all those things and maturity not take place in your life. Now, before some of you disagree with me, let's take a poll. You ready? Here's a poll. How many of you have ever set a goal of reading through your Bible so that you sit down and you know, for example, I've got to read 3 chapters today if I'm going to meet my goal. All right, I got to do that. And I've only got like 30 minutes to do this, so I got to get through these, right? Got to read. And so you sit down, you read your 3 chapters, your 30 minutes are gone, and you get done, and you say, I have no idea what I just read. Who's ever done that? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Because to be honest with you, whoever's not raising your hand, you've never tried to read through your Bible in a year. All right? So you might as well, yes, have we not? See, the point is simply this. The point is simply we can do all those things and they don't bring maturity. There's something much greater. You know, we can say, I'm going to pray for 30 minutes and we can go and we can sit in a room for 30 minutes, pretend like we're praying, and we get to the end and say, I have no idea what I just did. Or we can sit down and we can write in a journal that I don't know what I just did. We can sit through a Bible study and say, well, I don't know what just happened there, but I've been through it. We check. No. All right. Let me ask you, what do you think would be better? Would it be better for somebody to have this goal of reading through the Bible in a year so that they rush so much when they get done they have no idea what they read? Or maybe to read 1 or 2 verses and say and take time to meditate and say, God, what are you saying to me through those verses? God, what do you want me to know? Lord, what are you trying to do in my life? What is that verse saying to me and what are you saying to this world? Which do you think would be better, first or second? Right? For us to take time and concentrate on what? I need to know God. It's not whether I complete a checklist or not, but have I taken time to deepen my relationship with God? Because those are the things that God will use in your life to grow you. A prayer time? I'd rather you have 5 minutes of meaningful prayer time than 30 minutes locked in a room that had no meaning to it. The question is, hey, are you deepening that relationship with God? Now, I don't want you to get me wrong this morning, because reading through the Bible is a great goal. And having an extended prayer time can be very powerful. And journaling, especially for certain people, can have special meaning. But we should never equate those things with maturity. Maturity is developing your relationship with God, and the way that happens for you might be different than the way it happens for somebody else. You know, maybe you're a person like me. For me, in my life, I've tried journaling many times in my life, but it just doesn't click with me. I don't know if anybody else shares that. And so I just kind of, years ago, I said, that just doesn't fit my personality. I've tried hard, and I get frustrated every time I do it. If that's you, and you throw it aside, don't let somebody make you feel guilty about it, because maybe that's not the way God wired you. All right, when you think about the way that you pray versus what somebody else is praying, don't let them make you feel guilty. The question is, how do you do those things that deepen your relationship with God? If for you, writing does it, and when you write, man, you just have a powerful experience with God, then you write to your heart's content, amen? If you can get in a room for 30 minutes and shut the door and pray, and man, God just speaks to you there, you ought to go out and do it. But what I'm saying is, let God help you understand who you are, where you focus on deepening your relationship with Him, and do those things that deepen the relationship, not just place check marks on a piece of paper. Do you hear me? All right, I hope that makes sense to you. Now, if you'll do that, if you'll say, okay, God, you don't want a checklist religion. What I need to do is focus upon you. Then here's the next thing that you need to do. You need to decide to grow. Decide, I want to grow. Peter challenges us with these words in 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn infants, all right, look at this. Like newborn infants long for the spiritual milk, pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Look what Peter told us. We're to do what? We're to long for that spiritual milk. In other words, we should have this desire in our lives to know more about Christ and to live more for Christ. That should truly be our hearts. I wonder how many this morning would honestly say, I'm craving spiritual milk. Don't raise your hands. How many of you would say this morning, I want to know God's word more. I want to know God's will more. Is that really you? You see, we can't assume today that just because you're at church that you really want to grow. Maybe you're here simply out of obligation, or because somehow you feel coming gets you into God's good graces. Or maybe, again, this is another part of doing a check mark before God. You feel that, but listen, folks, listen. It's got to be more than that. The question is, do you really want to go? Are you here because you want God to speak to your heart? Are you here saying, God, I want to hear from you, and I want to know something today. I want to see something today that takes me to a deeper relationship with you? Because if you don't have that desire to grow, you can sit through this worship service and not grow one bit. You have to say, I want to grow. Maybe what I need to do is to help you see your need to have a desire to grow. Maybe it'll help you. In fact, here's something happening in my life one time, just very shortly ago, a few weeks back. It's almost a couple of months now. It's about the end of basketball season. My kids had all been playing basketball, and so for about 6 months, I'd been sitting in bleachers watching my kids play basketball almost every day during the week, eating out at restaurants. That was just our life. We didn't have time to come home and eat, and so we were just always on the run. So about the end of basketball season, I did something that, we're all afraid to do. I stepped on the scales in the bathroom. Anybody ever did that? Y'all have done that, right? Well, I did that one day, and I looked down, and I saw the number that popped up, and I about passed out. I was the heaviest I've ever been in my life, and something struck me and said, this is just not going to happen to me. I said, I'm not going to grow up because I don't want to be one of these old fat preachers that everybody makes fun of, and say all those things. And I said, I just don't want to be that way. And I looked at that scale, and I said, this is just not going to happen to me. And I decided something. I decided I'm going to lose weight. I got news for you. Now, for several weeks, I've been watching what I've eaten. I'm 10 pounds down so far. I got another 10 or 15 I'm going for. We'll see. Because I'm trying. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, all right. Because I looked and I said, here's the point, all right. Don't praise me for what I did. I'm just trying to make an example. I decided I was going to lose the weight. And when I decided I was going to do it, I put my mind to doing the things that it took to get the job done. All right. Before, I probably would have said it, but I was never serious. But I finally said, I've decided that I am going to do it. And what we need to do in our life is we need to decide that we want to grow, all right, in Christ. And why do we need to do it? Listen to what Peter told us in 2 Peter 3. He said, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, back up a second, just Donna. Look at this first verse. Why should we grow to maturity? Peter said, look, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should we grow? Because if not, here's what's going to happen. If we don't take care, we will be carried away by the error of lawless people and we will lose our stability. In other words, if you don't grow in Christ, you can fall to the errors of someone's teaching who's not teaching the truth of Christ. If you don't grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ, something might come into your life and you'll lose your stability and you will fall because you don't know fully who you are in Christ or what Christ wants to do in your life. See, why is it, folks, that many people who have claimed to be believers in Jesus Christ at one time and appeared even for a while to live for them, eventually walked away from their faith in Jesus Christ? It is because they failed to grow to maturity. And when one fails to grow to maturity, they eventually lose that stability and they fall away. And so I simply want to say to you, don't be that person. Instead, decide to grow in Christ. Now, if you decide to grow in Christ, I want you to please understand this. I want you to understand it is a process. One of my favorite passages of Scripture when it comes to living the Christian life and growing in that life is found in Philippians 3, beginning in verse 12. Again, the Apostle Paul writing says these words, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect," amen, "but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of you who are mature think this way, and if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have already obtained. Now, I first love this because it acknowledges what we all know, that we've not obtained perfection. But then it encourages us to do this, to forget the past and strain forward to what lies ahead. And I feel this is very important because maturing in Christ is not an easy thing." Can I say that again? Maturing in Christ is not an easy thing. It's a journey with ups and downs. In fact, let me go back and demonstrate some more great artistic ability. Are you ready for this again? Are y'all ready? Y'all didn't seem excited. Okay, well, there's a few of you, all right? Let's get rid of this, all right? Because that was really bad. I didn't do a good job on that line. Because here's what maturing in Christ is really like. You ready? Let me get out of the way. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up. Right? Is that better picture? In other words, what I mean by that, it's a better picture of your life, is it not? I mean, you grow in Christ for a while, and it seems like I take a back step. Maybe I failed. I went back to an old habit, and so I took a step back. I went forward for a little while and grew in Christ, and then, man, this hard time came. And in that hard time, there was a little bit of doubt of faith that came, and so I took a step back. I started growing again, though, but then life got busy, and I didn't have time. It didn't seem like I read the Bible or prayed like I used to, and so I took a step back. But then I went going again, right? Isn't that more like our life? You see, I want us to understand that this growth in Christ is a process. And here's what why we need to do that. Because if we're not careful, if we don't understand it's a process, here's what we'll do. We'll get to one of these downtimes and we'll stay there if we're not careful. Because we'll get discouraged. Why do you think Paul said, "One thing I do, I forget what's behind me and I press forward to what lies ahead"? Because Paul had his own failures in his life and he knew he needed to say, "Hey, I got to put that behind me and I got to press forward." See, some of you here this morning, maybe you came to Christ and you grew for a while, but then you stopped because something happened in your life and you've not moved forward again. And here's what God is saying to you. Understand it's a process. Forget what lies behind you and let's move forward in Christ again. All right, let's take another upward climb in your life. See, Paul said the key is ultimately this. Only hold on to what you've already obtained. Eventually, when you're here, look, we need to get back and we need to keep going. Hold on so that we don't go down. We always are moving up. Does that make sense to y'all? Yes or no? That make a little sense? Now, if you understand growing is a process, then you also should know this. It is best then accomplished with others. Ephesians 4, we read these words, "And he, that being God, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Now, I'm going to make something very clear. All right, you ready? There is nothing special about me. Somebody should have said amen to that. All right, now, what I mean by that is this. I'm just like you. I'm a person created by God. I have no more value than any other person here this morning. Amen? However, here's what I do believe. I do believe that God has called me to a special task, that being a shepherd of the church here at Valley Creek. That's a special position. Likewise, if you have a life group leader, they are nothing special. Isn't that right, Chad? You should have said amen, right? Or you got some other life group leaders. All right. Jim, Ed, y'all teach some, right? There's nothing special about these guys. All right. They're like you. They're like me. But God's got a special calling on their life to be teachers. Amen. Right. That's special. That is special. And what we have to understand is here's what God has called us to do. God has called us to help others mature in Him. Because here's what we all need. We all need people to invest in our lives. We all need people to help us reach our maturity. Even in my life, I have mentors. I have friends that I can trust. They help me grow. They help me mature. You see, here's what others do in my life. They become checks and balances for me. They keep me from misinterpreting Scripture, or they keep me from letting circumstances or feelings control our lives. And other people in our life help us do that. See, God knows that we need others to help us so that we mature and avoid what verse 14 says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. See, if you don't have other people in your life, here's what's easy to happen, that you to fall into the deceitful scheme of man, or to fall into some out there doctrine that's wrong and to be led astray. And God wants you to be involved with others who will help you mature. And here's why a life group should be very important to your life. It helps you mature. Here's why coming to worship on a regular basis should be important to you, because this is a place that helps you mature. When you fail to take advantage of those opportunities that God has provided by calling people into positions, you are simply hurting yourself. And as you involve yourself with other believers, they will help you mature. Do you understand that this morning? All right. So, if you're not in a life group, can I go ahead and say, you need to be in a life group? Where's all my life group leaders saying amen? Amen. Because we need others to help us grow. Now, if you'll grab that part, then you can get to this next one. Where you then, once I'm in this group of others, I've decided to grow, I've understood that it best happens with others, then I can do this. I can embrace struggles as a means of maturing. James told us this in James 1, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may become perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." That word perfect can be translated mature. So that you be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. What we all must understand is that sometimes the struggles in our life are the means by which God are maturing us. You know, if I was to go back to the stunning drawing, it's just saying, here's what God does. God comes, and many times our setback was because we had a struggle, and we might have went backwards. But what is God wanting to do with that struggle? Even if you step back, this is what He wants you to do. He wants you to miss that struggle, to look to Him and say, God, what are you doing? And ask God, where are you? And if you'll do that, here's what you'll discover. That struggle then becomes a means of helping you grow in God. Even if you have a doubt of your faith and you start searching deeper, God, I don't even know if I believe in you anymore, but you begin to search, God can reveal Himself more fully to you. If you're in the middle of that struggle and say, God, what's going on here? I don't understand. And you begin to search, God can show you where He is at in the midst of that struggle. And in the process, what happens? You begin to grow. And I'm going to say, folks, listen, this is why it's so important you have others. Because it's in the midst of those struggles that others really help you. Why? Because sometimes when you're in the midst of struggle, is it hard to see God? Yes or no? You know what others can do? Help you see God in the midst of the struggle. In your midst of the struggle, they can help you keep perspective of what's going on. And so we need those others to help us share those struggles so that they can be a source of strength. In fact, not too long ago, in a message, I preached about a struggle that Kim and I had. And I shared about that struggle, and there was a couple here that day, and I found out this past week that by me sharing the struggle that I had, it spoke to them in the midst of their struggle, and it gave them encouragement. And here's what I know. If they had not been involved in regularly coming, they would have never heard me share that struggle and never been able to be touched by the struggle that I shared with them. Because we need others to give us perspective. We need others to help us see God in the midst of our struggles. You hear what I'm saying? You see, God is there, and He wants us to embrace those things. And when we do that, here's what we understand. All right, God, I focused on my relationship with You. I've decided I'm going to grow. I've involved myself with others. I'm embracing these struggles in my life so that I can grow. Then when we do that, we can move to this next thing where we know that maturity is not complete until you invest in others. I could go back to Ephesians 4 to make this point because it clearly speaks of investing in others until we reach maturity, but I really like these verses from Colossians 1. Him, all right, that Jesus Christ, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present, look, everyone mature in Christ. Now, look, I like this next verse. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. Now, let me catch you understand what Paul is saying there. He's speaking here about the goal again of presenting everyone mature in Christ. But in the last part, Paul emphasizes his toil in helping others. But the key is this, struggling with what? God's power who is working in him. His energy which powerfully works within him. And so let's make this clear. When we move to helping others mature in Christ, we can only accomplish this as we let God do His work in us. And when God does His work in us so that we can help others, we experience a whole new level of living with Christ. Now let me go back to my drawing one more time. Can I? Y'all just been impressed, I know. If y'all would like a copy of this, I'll be glad to make a copy for you later. All right. Here's really what happens. In our life, at some point in time, there's this line, we might call it, you know, maybe a personal maturity line. Forgive my horrible handwriting. I'm a lefty that never learned how to write. Y'all didn't even know I was left-handed, did you? Now you know. Here's what happens in our life. There's this, like, personal maturity line. And so we might grow. Like I said, you know, we take a step back. We grow, we take a step back, we might grow a little bit more, but then eventually something like this happens. We stop growing. We plateau. All right? Now, if we're not careful, we start going like this. I'll talk about that in a second. But we get to this line where I can't even draw a straight line. Plateau. Now, why is it that we do that? Why does that happen to a Christian life? There's some of you been a Christian a long time, and you grew, and you experienced that growth. But all of a sudden, he said, I can't grow anymore. I feel like I'm stale. Let me tell you why that happens. This personal maturity line is a threshold that we can never get over until we start investing in other people. You hear what I'm saying? Until you begin to toil and struggle with energy that powerfully works in you, Jesus Christ working in you, until you get to the point where you say, it's not about me anymore, but investing in other people, you will never get over that line. You'll stop growing at some point in time because there's some things you cannot experience until you're investing in other people. Okay? You know what I mean? Until some of you start investing in little kids, you're never going to grow. Until some of you say, I'm going to teach what I know to little kids. There's some of you are going to say, you know what? Until I start investing in students and helping them grow, I'm never going to grow anymore. Until you start investing in young adults or middle-aged adults or senior-age adults, you're going to reach a threshold where you're not going to grow anymore. Until you start investing in those out in the community who have needs or even going to places like Honduras and sharing the cause of Christ. Until you start investing in others, you will stop growing in Christ. I'm even going to say this. Well, the times in my life that I've experienced the greatest growth were those times in my life when I began to invest in other people, even when I didn't feel qualified, right? Or even when I didn't feel like I knew enough. right? Some of you, maybe you've matured, you stopped, and you said, I can't do that, I don't know enough. Here's a confession. Some of you heard this because you've been here a long time. Some of you are new, so you haven't. When I started preaching, when I took my first pastorate, I'm going to go ahead and make this confession. I had no business being a preacher. I had no business being a preacher. I didn't know enough. I didn't have enough experience. God bless those folks that let me be their first pastor. Amen. Just those folks that just loved on me and cared. But here's what happened. As I just looked and said, God, I know this is what you want me to do. This is what you're calling me to do. God, I don't feel like I'm capable. I don't feel like I got enough knowledge. But God, if this is what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. I went and I was faithful to God. And you know what I discovered in the midst of that? That God grew me in the midst of that more than I could have ever grown any other time. Right? Think about it. If you teach kids, you better be ready when you go to their class. Amen? I've had people that started teaching kids, and maybe they were new in their faith, and they got down there and said, man, it's amazing how much I'm learning teaching these simple Bible stories to kids. Amen? Some of you have done that. Or going in adults. Listen, you want a challenge, you go start teaching students. You better be on your toes, right? You'll get in there, and you'll be challenged every week, and you'll get in there. Look, God will grow you. Here's my guess. Every week, y'all come. Y'all, man, I sounded real southern there, didn't I? Y'all come. Y'all come every week, and you expect me to say something, right? Well, maybe not. I thought you did. So if I'm going to say something, you know what? There's a challenge I have every week. And you know what my challenge I have every week? Every week I have this challenge. I got to dig into God's word deep and say, Lord, what is the message you got for these people? God, what is it you want to say? Lord, speak to me. Show me. What is it that you're wanting to say? And I'll guarantee you, I grow every week. Why? Because I've got this challenge. God's called me to this position. Am I qualified? Absolutely not. Am I smart enough to do what I do? Absolutely not. But here's what God says. You come, I'll use you. And you just take the challenge and say yes. And God says, I'll help you accomplish. I'll work through you. My power will shine through you if you just yield to me. And God is waiting for some of you to just say, yes, I'll do it, God. You've been saying, I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough abilities. All these things, excuses. Well, you're never going to grow and be who God wants you to be until you say yes to God, invest in others, and see what God might do through you. You with me? All right? That's a good word, amen? Now, I know I got to close. Some of y'all stomachs are starting to growl. All right, so I got to get you out of here. So let me ask you, do you want to experience 5G living? Do you? Then you need to grow in Christ. Are you ready for the challenge? Today, are you ready to focus on deepening your relationship with God? Saying, I'm putting away checklist religion, and today it's all about, I want to go know God more. Are you ready to say, I'm deciding to grow from today forward? I'm going to learn more about God. I'm going to seek this relationship with God. I'm deciding today I'm not going to be stale anymore, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to grow in my relationship with God. Are you ready to understand it's a process? There's going to be ups and downs, so I'm not going to let them derail me. When the down comes, I'm going to forget the past, and I'm going to move forward. Are you ready today to know that it's best accomplished with others, and so I'm going to commit to church attendance. I'm going to find me a small group to dig into. I'm going to find a men's ministry, a women's. I'm going to find a group to plug into because I need others, and I know I need them in my life. Are you ready today to embrace those struggles in your life as God's means of growing you? Are you ready? And are you ready today to invest in others so that you can mature to the place that God really wants you today? Are you ready to embrace that challenge? My prayer today is that we would all experience 5G living, and it's only going to happen if we grow in Christ. What is it you need to do today to grow in Christ? What do you need to do? Do you need to change your focus? Make a decision today? What do you need to do? But my prayer is that we would leave here as people ready to grow and move to a higher level of living. Would you pray with me? Our Father, this morning I just want to thank you again for your word, which is so rich. And Father, the great opportunity you give me to share this word. And Father, I know that, God, if anything great's coming, it's going to be your spirit now speaking and taking a point and speaking to this individual here, or this point and speaking to this individual. Your spirit has to do that. So I pray right now that in this time of invitation that your spirit would just speak to hearts. And Father, it's really already been speaking, but right now confirming what you've been saying, that at this moment of invitation that folks would make decisions ultimately, Lord, to grow in you. And whatever that means, if there's one that needs to come and focus on their relationship with you first, and it means giving their life to Christ, I pray they come today. If it's some that means they're kicking away checklist religion to just focus on you, I pray that would happen. Others maybe to commit to getting involved with others, whether that be a life group or whatever. Father, whatever needs to be done. Even those that say, hey, I've been growing, but I've reached the ceiling. If it means I'm saying yes to something you're calling them to do and investing in others, Lord, I pray today would be the day they say yes. So you just speak to us in this moment, Father. I trust that you'll have your way here today. And if you're calling people to respond, they'll come. And so, Father, as I pray these things now, I pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.